All right.
I had the great pleasure of going to a lecture last Wednesday night by two authors who had done some breakout and original work in the field of economics. Their first book was called Freakonomics. Their second bestseller was called Super Freakonomics. And their newest book is called Think Like a Freak. And so we're going to talk about this. I'll cut to the chase again and tell you, you already know how to think like a freak, which is a very positive thing in my world, by the way. This is a good thing. The basis of it, however, is that sometimes things are not as exactly as they seem. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they are not. And beneath the obvious, there might be other things to see. I had an actual practice in this idea when I lived in Seattle. I did some volunteer work for a couple of years with the Bellevue, city of Bellevue. And these are glasses, these are polarized lenses. And everybody who's on the stream team, I mean, are these fashionable or what? Everybody who was on the stream team would get a pair of these glasses, these polarized lenses. The work of the stream team was to take the salmon census every year. And if you're sitting there looking at your particular stream and everyone was assigned a little river to watch for 4 hours a week, at a certain time, and you would count the salmon that would be coming upstream on their way to spawn. But if you're looking at the water, you can't see anything because there's light reflecting on it, and so you would have these glasses that everybody wore. The eyebrows up here, they're little salmon. They're really quite cute. And that would take away the reflection of the sun, and you're able to see clearly to the bottom of these little streams. If Chinook were coming by, you didn't need the glasses because Chinook are enormous. They're like a Buick. They're this big. They're huge salmon. But the coho and the sockeye and the steelheads, they're much smaller and they swim a little bit deeper. And unless you have these glasses, you're not going to be able to see them. The work of a thinking person, and this is our work here, yes, to think, is to look just beneath the surface of things, to refocus a little bit, and to see what else might be going on. This makes sense, yes? Of course. The work that we do is all based on cause and effect. This is how we are trained in our philosophy, to know that the whole cosmos is held together, it is sustained, it is regenerated infinitely through a system of cause and effect, and that we're part of the cosmos, so those principles are up for us as well. It can be misleading, however, to jump to a conclusion about such and such caused this effect. We might not ever know what a real cause is. Because consciousness, friends, now, you know, again, what's different and what I value about this particular congregation is that we're all advanced students here. We are all people who are beyond the need to know that life will be to you what you are to it. Life is impersonal, and yet it's extremely complex. If there is something going on in my life that is not to my liking, relationships, health, work, whatnot, I might jump to a conclusion in my old way of thinking and say, well, it's their fault. They're blocking my advancement, or it's this person's thought, or society is against me. That's the cause of this particular problem. Now, what all y'all know, because you are advanced students, is that really at the very, very, very base of any dis-ease, the cause is our separation from source. So you already know how to think like a freak, because what everyone has in common here is that you have sought a deeper way of understanding the way life works, and the way we practice it is to know that, you know, I'm not praying that this thing is going to get better, and I'm not going to pray that you get out of my way and you get fired, because I'm not going to get a promotion unless you get fired. That's real primitive Old Testament stuff. We're going way down as deep as we possibly can to the root, knowing perhaps I have forgotten that there is that of me that is in constant contact with source, with good, with God, with infinite flow of substance. And from there, I rearrange my thinking. From that point of view, wherever it is, if it's up here, down here, it's nowhere in particular. But from that place of knowing, that's when I push the reset button and start again and ask myself, what did I come here for? What do I want to do? Who cares about anybody else, really? Who cares about anybody else? What is it that's up for me right now? What is the good that I am seeking to express in the world, and how can I do it in a way that is in integrity for me and with skill? Some people, I don't know how they know how to do it automatically, but they seem to, and some people learn through trial and error over a lifetime. Some people do know how to speak truth to power without being annihilated in their lifetime. This is the, for me, the great example of Pete Seeger, who suffered greatly for what he said, but it never seemed to bother him. He kept singing what he wanted to sing about, and in the long run was proven right. I think that we have feelings about Dr. Maya Angelou. She seemed to be able to do that. She wasn't a relentless stream of platitudes or the superficial things that she spoke articulately about things that needed to be addressed. But she never seemed to be punished for it or seemed to be discouraged. She kept speaking and singing and writing. And amongst all the accolades she's received this week, the one thing that's been missing that I want to put into the national conversation is that she could rock a pair of sunglasses like nobody else in this country. She made them look good at 86, you know? That's a deep sense of confidence. That's what is so attractive about her. She knew what her source was. It's just the only story there is to tell, you know? So what is it that you want to do? There's a question. Who are you now? What's up for you? Who do you want to be? Not in terms of the title that you want, but in terms of the way you get out of bed every morning. Who do you want to be? I am somebody who is what? Tell me the qualities that you are. I am well. I am peaceful. I am creative. I am generous. I am fearless. And how does that show up? shows up differently for every one of us. Fearlessness shows up completely differently for all of us, whether we're working or not. But fearlessness in one field of endeavor, in design, fearlessness is going to be different than it is in music. I think Joanne knows something about being fearless. Open your mouth and sing, right? Yes. Yes. You know, the genius that Mary Baker Eddy was, and for whom religious science pretty much owes everything for its existence, was that the Christian Science Monitor, which is still a viable and a potent publication in this world, had a particular bias. And the bias wasn't that, you know, the world just needed another newspaper to come out of Boston. It's that Mary Baker Eddy knew that to be really practice Christian Science, you prayed without ceasing, all the time, for the right thing. And the editorial bias of the Christian Science Monitor was to always let Christian Science practitioners know what is the correct thing to be treating for. That there is World War I or World War II or Vietnam, that is violence on the planet. We don't necessarily treat them, this is what we have in common, that there be a cessation of violence, do we? We treat for the cause which will make that redundant, immaterial, and an impossibility. We treat for that to appear in the world. That's looking beyond the obvious. It's being a freak. How do you make this stop? Well, you know, you can't make this stop. Nobody knows how to make this stop. It all comes back to us individually. As platitudinous as it sounds, right? As what? As perfect expressions of life. Each one of us. And then asking ourselves an ever more skillful, articulate, and demanding ways to be brave enough to be that. I want to conclude with looking at this invitation that Dr. Walker wrote. And, you know, I was in this ministry as a civilian for 15 years, and I moved away for 15 years, and when this congregation started using this was done the years that I was not living here. But I intuitively trip up every time I read this, because I never think intuitively, may we all bless each other by daring. I think what I want to ask of myself is, may we all dare each other to be who we have always been, to know what we have always known, and to express. That's the reason that I'm here. That's the reason that we are here in community, so we can lovingly, and without demand or obligation, but stand in affirmation of, I double dare you to be your fabulous self. I dare you to do that. The blessing is automatic once we are. Once we are knowing who we have always been, and doing what we want to do on this planet. You can have zippy books come and go that have great advice in them. A title like How to Think Like a Freak gets your attention. And that's great, because we all pretty much live in a trance. So the great spiritual practice is always to wake up to what's going on, to remember what it is we want to do, the business we want to be about, to treat and act, not waiting for treatment to magically solve our problems, but to be the treatment in action. But as I read this whole thing, I kept thinking, you know, we all know how to think like freaks. We all know all this stuff in here. We know to look beneath the obvious, to not get hooked on the image of what we see, and to go all the way down in the interior of our spirit, if you will, all the way deep, and to know, yes, the thing that I need to remember is I am the thing itself. Now, what will I do with the week that I've been given? God bless you, friends. I sure appreciate you.